This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
Thanks so much for agreeing to participate on our podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule and during this crisis to help HR leaders, business owners, and anyone who out there who is managing a team help their employees reduce stress and anxiety during this health crisis. So if we could start off by you providing the audience your name, company, and title.
Certainly. Well, first of all, thank you, Bruce, for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. My name is Jarlath Keating. I am the president and CEO of Advanced Bioscience Laboratories, and we're headquartered in Rockville in Maryland.
Great. And what was your headcount pre-COVID? And maybe it's the same.
Currently, our headcount globally is around 250 employees, of which 125 of them are located in the Rockville, Maryland office. Right now, we have maintained that headcount.
Great. That's great to hear. And of that headcount, for the people who didn't work in the headquartered office, were they working out of an office or were they working primarily remote?
Well, we have about 125 staff members located in France as well. So we are a global company operating on two continents. Of our staff currently in the Rockville facility, we have around half of the staff working from a remote location today because of COVID-19. But under normal circumstances, we would have the majority of those individuals working from the office.
Got it. And so now let's go into how you were actually managing your team navigate through this crisis. When you first heard the news, and this differs based off of how aggressive people wanted to react or not react, but when you went into that oh shit moment, we need to move and we need to act quickly, what was your thought process? What was your mindset? And what did you initially do to make sure that your company can navigate through this crisis?
Sure. So I think, first and foremost, my company, Advanced Bioscience Laboratories, is actually a company that works in infectious disease research. So anything like this is very much on our radar. And I will also add that the company that owns my organization is the Institut Mérieux, based in France, which is also very much involved in public health and infectious disease diagnostics and research. And so as this pandemic started to become global news and ultimately a global challenge, we started to take direction from our mother company, because being based in France, they were impacted maybe earlier than the United States was. But we also took a lot of guidance from the CDC, and that was our go-to agency to make sure that we were up to date with their recommendations, with how they were tracking, and really prepare in advance for some of the activities we had to establish.
Got it. And so how did you communicate with your employees? And one of the questions that I've been getting and seeing a lot of HR leaders ask online is, what's the best way to communicate based on your company size? If you have 10 employees, communication will probably be hand-to-hand and very direct on a one-on-one basis. If you have 100 or a couple hundred employees, depending on how your company culture is set up or how the leadership team is organized, maybe that's a town hall. And then if you have obviously thousands of employees or tens of thousands of employees, communication is totally different. So how did you handle that in regards to direct communication between you and employees individually versus having individual managers or directors of departments managing the one-on-one communication?
Sure, no, great question. Obviously, communication in times like this being paramount. But given that we were communicating within, and I'll focus on the Rockville facility in the US initially, given that we were communicating to about 125 people, we did revert very quickly to email communication and also communication over Microsoft Teams. We wanted to duplicate those vehicles to make sure that we left nobody behind, so to speak. Normally, these things, when you're dealing with a large issue, you would like to do a town hall. Obviously, physically, that wasn't an available option, of course, given the social distancing protocols that we had established very early on. Putting a town hall over the internet, where you've got maybe 125 people logging in, that can lead to technical issues. And I felt the continuity of communication was very important, not risk technical failures when you're trying to do a town hall over the internet. So we relied on email, we relied on Microsoft Teams. We also relied on the senior management team to convey to their teams in smaller groups some of the decisions that we'd made around social distancing protocols, work from home protocols, and those people coming into the facility, what protocols they had to actually follow. One of the things we also did was, knowing that a lot of our team are using mobile devices all the time, we did ask those members of staff that had a personal mobile phone if they were prepared to share that their number with the organization, which of course they're not obliged to do. And we also asked them to sign up to the Microsoft Teams app on their personal phones, so that there was, out of hours, they were still able to see the communications coming over that vehicle. If they weren't on email, they would at least see the communication on the Teams app on their personal phones. And I'm glad to say the vast majority of staff accepted that request. And that was one way to keep continuity of communication.
That's interesting that you brought up employees and team members being able to see information and important announcements after, I'm putting up air quotes, business hours, because now that everyone's working from home, and I'm assuming everyone, when your team is working from home, then figuring out when people are working and the best way that they could work and the times that they could work will probably be totally different based off of your specific home makeup, whether you're caring for people or if you have your kids doing a day and trying to homeschool. So how do you, as a business leader, think about productivity, what that looks like, as people may be nervous that their employer doesn't feel like they're working enough, but at the same time, you don't want to make people even more stressed and anxious about everything that they're thinking about, especially from a personal standpoint as well?
Yes. Again, another great question. And there's a certain sort of irony here in that at the beginning of 2020, we had introduced a flexible work time policy to the organization. The prior policy, in my mind, when I took over the reins of the company, was not adequate to really reflect the needs of a 21st century workforce. And so we had updated our flexible work time policy in January 2020, and rolled that out. And there had been some resistance from our, certainly, middle management organization, in that, will people respect that policy? Will people be affected working from home? And then, of course, COVID-19 comes, where we had to essentially tell people or instruct people that they had to work from home. And this covers 60-70% of our workforce. But what we found out very quickly was that people were happy to communicate how they were working from home. And as you say, people with smaller children had to maybe take on a slightly different daily schedule. We would find that people would be working maybe less so in the afternoon, but then we'll go back to work again in the evening. And we had to just allow for that natural fluidity that was going to happen when you are forcing people who aren't used to working from home to work from home, when they may have childcare obligations or other caring obligations. So using that feedback was one of the reasons why we asked the team to download these apps onto their personal phone so that they would be able to see, you know, when they chose to plug into the business, they would be able to see the most up-to-date communication from the organization. Now, in terms of productivity, you know, we have to have a large element of trust here. I will also add that we are a US government contractor, and so our ERP system where we track billable hours, you know, is also a very useful tool to see how utilized people are, because they have to track their time in this system to satisfy government regulations. So that's a tool that we can use. But at the end of the day, it comes down to communication, trust, and it's execution and task driven. Are people getting the work done in the time frame that they need to get it done? What I've also found is that given the situation, and when I've asked for feedback, you know, are the various stakeholders in a decision process, are they all delivering? The feedback's been very positive that people have stepped up. People aren't hiding behind their computers. They're not hiding behind their devices. We have some good vehicles to communicate, whether it's, again, Microsoft Teams, Zoom, etc. So people have embraced those capabilities, and I wouldn't go so far as to say that we're operating at 100%, but I don't think we're too far away from that.
Now that you've seen how effective and productive your team can be working remotely, have you given any thought, and have you already talked to your leadership team about what this potentially means when social distancing orders and policies allow people to go back to the office?
I think we haven't had a very specific conversation around that. We have. There's obviously been a lot of banter and just general, let's call it chit chat for want of a better description, about what's life going to be like afterwards. And I think there is a general understanding or acceptance that this will change the way people work, will change the attitude towards working from home, not working from home. And I've found it very interesting in that you get three different types of individuals. You get the people who are embrace something very quickly. They're early adopters. They say, okay, well, this just makes a lot of sense. The people may be a little bit more cautious. They want to wait and see. They want to see other groups maybe being successful with it. And then you've got the groups that are maybe a little bit more, old school, for, again, want of a better description, who really think that if you're working, you should be in the office. And I think we're going to get those three groups manifest themselves after COVID-19 social distancing protocols are relaxed. But I think it is inevitable that this will accelerate the move to remote working as a more accepted form of employment.
And to end the podcast, what are the skills and mindset that you think any leader should bring to the table as they're dealing with this health pandemic or any crisis moving forward? Because I'm sure now, since it's so fresh, that you'll be able to provide insight in regards to what were you thinking about when you first went through this and how you came up with a game plan, since I'm sure you're still working on that.
Yeah, so I think communication is probably the single most important skill you have to have in a time like this. As the leader of a business, people they're looking at you anyway. I mean, regardless of COVID-19 or not, they're looking at you to set the tone, to set expectation, to give direction, to give leadership, to give vision. And then when something like this happens, that just amplifies. And they want to hear from you. They want to know what you think. They want you to be giving decisive direction. And even though over time, the communication has to be nimble and flexible because things are changing. I mean, initially, we had a stay-at-home policy for those individuals that could work from home. And then we went to an enhanced level where those individuals that could work from home but were deemed non-essential to the facility were not even allowed to come back to the facility unless they had specific permission to do so. So the message changes over time. But I think what your employees are looking for is decisive, clear communication, and using as many vehicles as you can to reinforce that communication, and also utilizing your management team to reinforce the communication, because not everybody hears the same thing, just because one person is saying it. So I think communication is the primary skill set that will help us navigate this.
Thank you for that really practical and useful wisdom that you just shared. And I also want to note that this is your first podcast ever, and you totally nailed it. So great job.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that feedback.
So again, thanks so much for taking time during this crisis to help fellow business leaders and anyone who's managing the team really understand how they could help employees navigate reducing their stress and anxiety during this crisis and any crisis. So thanks again, and really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Thank you, Bruce. My pleasure.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.